Good times and great music at 2NURFM 103.7. It's our fortnightly test drive into the world of motoring. And as always, to provide us with a little bit of motoring magic from drive.com.au, Tom Fraser, who, Tom, you were out of our commission last week because you had the tough job of test driving literally, what was it, about 50 cars around a couple of racetracks?
Quite right. So, last week we were spending a lot of time putting 50 cars through their paces for Drive Car of the Year testing. So this is Drive's annual car testing program. And, you'll be able to hear more about that in February. But for the time being, it was a bloody fun time.
Look, I suppose the only comment that you can really throw after that before we get into our topics this week is, how do I get a job like that? But anyway, I suppose everyone sees the fun part of everyone's job, but they don't see the other, 48 weeks of the year where it's a bit full on.
Exactly right. It's a long slog, Mark.
I tried for you. Look, today we will start, Tom, with electric cars. We know they're all the rage of the topic discussions at the moment, but a lot of them actually aren't living up to their advertised driving range. Now, we know that is one of the big factors that is stopping everyone jumping in. Well, if they're not actually getting to where they're advertised range, that's going to be a big problem for that part of the industry, one would think.
Yeah, exactly. So credit to the Australian Automotive Association. They've done a bunch of testing of actual electric cars on Australian roads to find out what they are actually doing in terms of energy efficiency. And they have found that some EVs miss the mark in terms of what they claim for a driving range by up to 31%. And that is a big margin. So they did testing on four cars, the Tesla Model Y, which we all know is a very popular electric vehicle, the Kia EV3, the MG4, and the Smart #1. And the worst performing car was the MG4. And it dropped, 31% on its claimed driving range. And it was only able to muster 281 kilometres from a full charge. So it's quite a way off in terms of efficiency, but it's certainly not alone. The Tesla Model Y was closest to its claim. It was only 3% off the mark, and that could still manage 450 kilometres. But, you aren't necessarily getting what it says on the tin in terms of these electric vehicles, and there is so much variance involved in where you drive and what conditions you're driving in. So it's one of those things to definitely keep in mind if you are choosing or considering an electric vehicle.
Yeah, I mean, 3%, okay, we'll let that slide maybe. But 31%, I mean, the result that was given was 405-kilometre maximum test, and it only got to 281. Now, one of the bigger regular drives that people in Newcastle may do is to Sydney, and hang on a minute, that is actually not going to get you down there and back. So that kind of pretty much knocks that on the head. I mean, when are we going to get some stability in these numbers? Because if they want everyone in electric cars and they can't get that right, it's very shaky, Tom.
Yeah, it is unfortunate in the sense that it's a hard science to predict, right? Because these cars are tested in sort of lab conditions and tested to what authorities think consumers and motorists are going to do. However, it doesn't always match up with what you see on the road. So you might have a headwind, for example. You might have poor road conditions. You might have different wheels fitted to your car. And all these factors, they really do come into it when you are actually getting out there and seeing what your electric vehicle can manage in terms of driving range.
Yeah, I know I'm going to compare apples with aeroplanes here, but I mean, if you go and buy a 1 litre bottle of milk and there's only 600 mils in there, which is about the difference, we would have some issues. But maybe obviously do the lab test, do the lab conditions, and maybe sort of go out and do some rigorous hard stuff and go, look, in the worst of conditions, you're probably going to get, say, 280, best of conditions, 400, so people can at least, have a bit of truth there. Now, on the other end of the scale, Toyota are unveiling a really fab-looking sports car in 2027, so that's a complete other end of the scale there, Tom. A
V8. Exactly. We're quite excited about this. So, yeah, you're right. A new supercar has been revealed, and it comes from an unlikely manufacturer in Toyota. So Toyota is the latest brand to develop an all-new high-performance car, and it's called the GR GT. It looks really hot, I have to say, and it's powered by a 4-litre twin-turbo V8, so complete opposite end of the spectrum to electric vehicles, like you said. And It'll output up to 478 kilowatts and 850 newton meters, along with a hybrid battery. And they're saying it can get up to 320 kilometers an hour for a top speed. So, yeah, this one is very exciting. And you don't often see all new supercars these days. It's just not an arena where manufacturers are willing to put their development and research costs. So the fact that Toyota, of all brands, the maker of things like the Corolla, the fact that Toyota is doing it, we're quite excited by it.
Maybe, Tom, because that there is that sort of shift at the moment, there is a lot of question mark around how far into the electric arena globally everything is going to be. I mean, once there are some sort of questions solved around that in the medium term, maybe we'll see some of those development funds go to other areas. Now, lastly, this one is very interesting. A lot of the shopping centres, you know, you drive in and they're 1 hour parking, two, four, whatever it is. And sometimes people may get a sneaky fine by exceeding those time limits. How enforceable are they? You would think that's just a lock, wouldn't you? But or is there a bit of wiggle room here?
Well, it's kind of how willing are you to push the envelope, I guess. Technically, shopping centre car park fines owned by third parties, those fines are legally enforceable, but not in the way that you would expect, because as you enter a shopping centre car park or a private car park of any kind, you effectively enter into a contract, and that means that they can legally chase you up for breaching the contract in the circumstance that you stay too long, for example. This kind of situation, it is a little bit more for the car park operator. The legal battle will generally be a bit more protracted than the regular road parking fines, because they can't lean on the authorities as efficiently. But yeah, they can certainly hit you up for the fines and effectively even take you to court to recoup those costs that you didn't pay if you stayed too long, for example. So yeah, these are definitely enforceable, but yeah, we're just not in the same way that a road parking fine is.
I think they're probably leaning on the fact that they've got more money than us. So if it goes to court, it's a thing for them. Tom, as always, a pleasure. We'll take our final look at the World of Motoring next week. As always, thank you for your time.
Excellent. Thanks, Mark.
From drive.com.au, we're doing our test drive there with Tom Fraser at 2NURFM 103.7.